B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. And Football Monday on The Fanatic is brought to you by Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning Contractors. Visit nopaybryant.com for a heating contractor who will do whatever it takes to keep you warm this season. So we're looking for a reaction from Doug Peterson, the press conference that he just had. Barrett and I kind of read it the same way. Seemed like he was throwing the players under the bus just a little bit.
Well, at least, you know, letting them know, hey, we're putting them in the best position we can. It's up to them to now take it, you know, one step forward and be great. And I keep telling people, never be scared to be great, man. At this point, I don't see anybody taking that next step to be great, doing the little extra stuff to be great. Sometimes it takes a little extra film time. Sometimes it takes a little extra running, you know, being in great shape. You know, sometimes it's just understanding that you have to do your job and just your job to stop the bleeding.
Yeah.
And I don't see that happening.
Yeah, you don't know if you can do something unless you give it a try. And sometimes it seems like we're not getting a lot of try out of some of these guys. AJ in West Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, AJ?
What up, Big Bob?
Hey, film buddy.
What's up, babe?
Man, I've been feeling the same feeling for the whole season, man, when I saw them not running the ball. But first off, the guy that you just had on, when they talked about switching coaches and everybody said they don't know where to go, why isn't Deuce Staley on the front of everyone's mind that he should be the next offensive coordinator for this team? I'm tired of him getting looked over and getting these damn retreads like we can get another coach to help us.
All right, I'm going to play devil's advocate here. Okay, and I am just doing this for the sole purpose of conversation. Has the offense been a disappointment over the last couple of years, would we say?
Oh, no question about that.
Super.
Okay, all right. Deuce Staley is, if you're moving him up to offensive coordinator, he's a big part of this offense. Has he done a good job? Look, I know everybody loves Deuce. I love Deuce. I love the way he played. Has he done a good job to warrant that boost up to offensive coordinator?
I think it's to how to improve the team, but yes. But ever since we had Ryan Matthews, we have snuck out a running game somehow. When we had McGarrett Blunt and Jay Ajayi, nobody knew we was going to be one of the top five teams rushing with that tandem. Deuce Staley been doing a hell of a job with just the running game, and he cut his teeth with the running game. So if he was the OC, I would never expect him to go away from the running game.
Fair
and
enough.
Allow him to get some formations that a running back can run out of with a fullback. You notice when that fullback led the gap, Dolphins scored a touchdown with that fullback in there.
Now, you talking about you had a 12 personnel play when we played against, who was that?
The Dolphins just ran against us on the goal line.
Oh, you want the Dolphins?
Oh, yeah.
Plugged him up the middle, and they fouled right along behind them. Now, the way I think we can improve this team is the writing's right on the wall. I watch Alabama football every week just for this. They got four outstanding wide receivers. The third and fourth receiver, the guy named Waddle, had four touchdowns. And it's another guy. We need to draft a wide receiver in the first and second round for Carson Wentz next season. And they need to be from LSU or Alabama because these are some explosive playmakers that can get the ball out of Carson Wentz's hand. And we need to lean on the running game from now into next season.
I hear you, AJ, and I appreciate that. And Jamie Lynch has offered to become a wide receiver scout in the SEC for the Philadelphia Eagles. He says, take somebody from LSU, Alabama, I don't care, one of those schools, and you're going to be okay as far as the wide receiver position goes.
I'll take the American Athletic Conference.
Oh, there you go. All right.
Hey, they produce some good players.
Yeah?
I'm laughing off. Cortland Sutton.
I'm not laughing anything off, Pat.
I'm talking about speed kills. You're talking about one guy today. I'm talking about a whole handful of guys in the SEC, man. I mean, you look at it, speed kills, man. That's one thing you can't coach. If you're fast, you're not. At this point, we don't have speed on the outside to really make a difference. Now, you talk about, you know, maybe who would you say would be a speed receiver at this point that makes any of our guy, I mean, any defense makes, you know, any headway against us? I mean, against them. Nobody. I mean,
no.
We consistently get a guy in the box because nobody's scared of our receivers getting out of the field. Okay, Alshon had over 120-something yards, 130-something yards yesterday. But still, you know, it was almost a joke that, you know, they were throwing down the field for him to make a big play on a long pass play.
Yeah.
He's a possession receiver. We need speed. We need to go down south and get some speed from the SEC.
I like the plays that they ran. Like, when they did run out and ups and stuff to Alshon, I liked them. And Aguilar at the end of the game made the catch that they had to reverse the ruling on. But they only do that when it you know, comes to necessity. They don't do it. They don't do it in the middle of the game. They
regular
do it
practice.
When they have. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've often called for. I wish they would go to the helter-skelter offense more. Yep. No huddle. Throw the ball downfield a little bit more. But Doug just doesn't want to do it. Ernie from Temple, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Ernie?
Hey, what's going on, Bob and Barrett? How y'all doing, man?
Good. How about you?
I'm doing great. I just want to piggyback off of pretty much what everybody is saying. The coaches, I have an issue with them. And the main issue I have with them is not only, you know, the play design and the way they're, you know, managing these games, but I don't have faith in their development. They can't develop any player from the draft. No matter who we draft, it seems like they regress when they get here. Like, we don't have it. When I've seen Carson regress to the level that he's regressed to, I can't help but look at the coaching. You know what I mean? Like, we can't give them any out on this. Like, we really got to get aggressive in the matter in the fact that we got to look at them and say, yo, y'all not developing anyone. Y'all can't draft. We can't say y'all can't draft because these people are talented when they come here. Like, Sidney Jones, he was talented when he got here. You know, of course, Carson was a blue chip. But these guys regress when they get here, so it's really it doesn't matter who we draft if the coaches can't develop them.
Yeah, you have a point there.
And we can't look at Howie because Howie is just looking at he's putting a Band-Aid everywhere. You know, he's getting free agents here because that's all he can do because he can't draft anyone because they don't know what to do when they get here. You know what I mean? So I just feel that way, and I think that we were a Super Bowl contender. We should still be a Super Bowl contender, but I think we need a minor rebuild and that's what coaching personnel for us to happen. I think we neglected that. Like, when Frank Wright and when DeFilippo left, I think they neglected the coaching staff. You know what I mean? I think we got too big-headed and satisfied with Doug because...
Oh, I think I fat-fingered Ernie. I apologize on that. But it makes a good point. The one thing that bothers you about the Eagles is player development really bad.
It's very bad. You know, you look at the players that they have and they've brought into the fold, and how much better have they gotten? You know, I've seen more players regress instead of progress. You look at Big V. Big V started in the Super Bowl. It looked like he never took a rep the last two games he played in.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked like he shouldn't even have an NFL jersey on. And that just comes from coaching. You know, Coach Stallen is a great coach, but evidently he's not sitting in the same meeting room as everybody else. He is not playing well at all. You look at, you know, even if the wide receiver position, I don't see anybody taking that next step. You know, what's going on? Greg Ward-Jr, that's the only guy I've seen that's gotten better throughout the course of this season to even say, all right, he's starting to play a lot better. What other position is, even Carson? Carson's regressing. I mean, is that Press Taylor? I mean, I don't know. I mean, he's not doing well. What's the difference between, you look at a Patriot team where Belichick can just run anybody in there and run the system. Why? Because he believes in the system. Nobody's higher than the system. I mean, we've tried to emulate his system for the past 10, 15 years. Nobody can.
Right.
And it's all because of coaching. His coaching style is nobody's better than the team. Even Brady. Brady gets his ass cussed out also. He doesn't care. Brady, he's going to get the same thing. He'll give it to him too.
Sure.
And that culture has bred that you have to come in and play elite. Not just play good, but play elite. And it doesn't matter who. He had Eric Rowe. Made him play elite.
Yeah.
You know, he had regular players come in there and ball out.
Patrick Chung. It was horrible here. He went up there before this.
Start this place up.
Goes up there, starts to play really well.
Right.
It is. It's amazing the way they get the most out of their players up there. And it's a major concern for the Eagles, especially with these young players. And when you do have a lot of draft picks, which they do have coming up also, it's kind of like, people want Howard to stockpile the draft picks because you have so many positions you need to fill. But on the other hand, you have that Howie hasn't been that good at drafting players. So what difference does it make? You know, and then
we get them, we don't develop them.
Yeah, and the Sidney Jones thing is just, that's baffling to me. Yep. Are we ever going to see Corey Clement again? You know, he was riddled by injury last year, and it's a shame. Showed what he could do in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
In that whole Super Bowl run. Looked to be a real weapon. And then, boom, comes out, injury last year, injured this year. I haven't heard his name in for how long. I know he's on injured reserve. But, like, where's that going? I mean, part of player development is, you know, ability. Part of ability is availability. Absolutely. A lot of times these young kids just aren't available.
Look,
what about the
rugby playing?
Oh, yeah, Jordan Mailata.
Jordan Mailata, yeah.
Yeah, another one that vanished.
I mean,
boy, when these people go away, they go away. Like, we never hear from them again. I don't know what they've
they
put
have,
like,
cement boots on or something.
Yeah, they have a tunnel or something down there, but there's something going on. I want to tell you that the 1 o'clock hour is brought to you by the Rothenberg Law Firm, Philly proud and Philly strong for over 49 years. To find out more, visit injurylawyer.com. And Egan, do you want to do a poll? Did you already start the poll of the day?
I did. You can find it at 975 middays, and it's been the question that you've had on the show the whole day. Who's to blame? And I put, and don't write all the above, because that's, people love doing that.
No,
just pick one.
I think they do that just because they don't.
You just gotta pick one.
All right, just pick one of the four. Right? What are the four options?
Doug, the front office, the players, or other. And 51% say Doug right now. The front office is in second with 24%. The players 23%, and the other is 2%.
All right, and the poll of the day is brought to you by Marvin E. Cans Heating, Air Conditioning, and Duct Cleaning. Got a cold wife? Cans can warm her up with special financing and rebates up to $1,925 on a new heating system. Visit Marvin E. Cans, KANZE.com for an estimate. All right, so Doug's got 51% of the votes. It's the majority, and I think I'm right there with it. Now, not to get off subject, but at the beginning of this year, and I still have to struggle with it, and I still think it might be my overriding theme. I asked Bob Ford, we label every season when they're done. He said this is the season of disappointment. I kind of lead towards this is the season of unbelievable amounts of injury.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Barrett, I go back and I look through, you know, after every game we all do, we print out the game book. And I'll just go back and I'll look at the inactives through the year. And it's amazing when you think on the offensive side of the ball, everybody they've missed, from Jason Peters to Lane Johnson to obviously Darren Sproles, who was somebody you kind of had hope for to contribute this year, to Corey Clement, now to Jordan Howard, to the wide receivers, to Zach Ertz was struggling a little bit there. Goddard struggled at the beginning of the
season. Mills didn't get here, what, 5 weeks ago? 4 weeks ago?
You go to the defensive side of the ball, and it's even worse. And we didn't mention DeSean Jackson, obviously, for the offensive side of the ball. Then you go to the defensive side of the ball, and you have Malik Jackson. You have Timmy Jernigan. You have Bradham, Grugier-Hill. You have Mills. You have Darby. I mean, you can make a list of probably close to 12, 13 starters on both sides of the ball for this team that you were counting on that missed significant time.
No question. I mean, these are not just talent that, you know, not just starters, but guys that are really supposed to be the turning point of this season. Guys are supposed to turn things around. Malik Jackson was supposed to be, you know, Fletcher Cox's counterpart. I mean, that's going to be the unstoppable defensive line. And you know what happens? The first game, Malik Jackson get hurt. I mean, that's crazy that we've gone through this season like this, you know. I mean, so many. We went into, was it last week's game or the week before? I mean, last week's game with a guy we brought up from the practice squad, Greg Ward Jr.
Yeah,
we had the rookie Ortega Whiteside.
You had your number one draft pick left tackle playing right tackle.
No Howard. I mean, no Alshon. That was. No Aguilar. To go into a game with your hands strapped behind your back like that and still almost win, you know, I feel as there's a little hope then. But then to come back and lose against a 2-9 Miami squad.
Yeah. That's it. I don't get it. It's the season of something when you label it after this year, and whatever it is, it's not going to be good. All right, so I brought this up earlier, and just for fun, for the last 45 minutes of the show, I want to bring this up to you. So Black Friday, today's Cyber Monday, $7.4 billion was spent on Black Friday. okay? So when you and I were younger, there wasn't Black Friday and there wasn't Cyber Monday.
No, it was nothing like that. What, these are just like new age terms or something.
Right, new age terms, trends, popular things that have come about. That's what they are. So I just want to ask, when you call and talk about the Eagles, just to make you maybe a little bit happier, just to think in a different direction for the rest of the show that we have, what's a trend in sports that came about that you liked, came about that you don't like, maybe came about, is now gone, that you miss? Think of a trend in sports, and I asked you before the show, tell the people what you had to say on that one.
Oh, I mean, my biggest thing was how we have relief pitchers the way we have them now. You know, it used to be that, you know, a pitcher would go the whole nine innings, but now you may have nine pitchers in nine innings. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I've never seen this before. This is unbelievable to me.
So the whole pitch count thing just drives you nuts.
Crazy.
That's it's funny that we both went baseball.
Right.
Because my trend that I don't like, if there's a trend out there you do like, great. Well, I'd love to hear about it. 610-632-0975. But the trend that I don't like is the shift in baseball.
Oh.
Can't stand it. I understand it.
Right, right.
Like, and I'm not a proponent for taking it away, because I think that's what sports is all about. You try to find an advantage on your field, and you play to that advantage. And if it's within the rules, I don't want the rules to change. People that do the shift, good for you. You came up with some, but I just can't stand to watch it. I can't stand a hard hit ball right up the middle and it's grabbed by somebody. Like, that just drives me nuts for some reason. Kevin in Newcastle County, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Kev?
Yo, Bob, what's going on, man?
How you living, brother?
You getting that money today, brother. You getting that money.
Nah, they just pay me in peanuts and water, man.
Double dipping.
Hey, that's all right, but you're a good man. I put a lot of the blame on Doug. Because this is my thing, man. Just like you guys have pointed out, we up 28-14, and the young man is averaging close to 5 yards a pop. Why isn't he touching the ball in the second half? So therefore, your defense can rest. It'll nullify Mills and Dad going Darby getting burnt. I really don't understand that. And then the explanation he gave for not calling the timeout. The only person that I remember using that was Chip Kelly. When Andy came here, and that, you know, I don't remember if that play worked for us or not. I don't know. But you call a timeout, whether they come with another play or not, you call a timeout to get organized, to do something, man. It makes no sense.
That explanation, Kev, that explanation.
As far as Black Friday, me and my wife did that one time, man, one time only. That was like 3 or 4 years ago, and I'll never do that again. I mean, we acquired a nice TV, but to sit there and go through all that nonsense, I'll just wait for it to come on sale, or I'll go down to the military bases and catch some sales, man. That's ludicrous.
What's a trend in sports that you don't like? Or maybe you do like?
Well, no. Well, I will go to the pitching in baseball, because I remember, man, Steve Carlton, Randy Lurch, Christensen.
Randy Lurch. You had Randy Lurch on me, Kev. That's good.
Yeah. My mom loved Randy Lurch for whatever the left hand. She loved him. But I remember those guys going 7, 8, 9 innings, man.
Yeah.
You rarely use the relief pitches the way you do. And Bob, last time I leave, you stole my thunder. That shift thing sucks, man. It sucks, man.
All right, Kev, I appreciate it. Thanks for the call. Yeah, I don't know how you get away from that running game. I mean, you know, if I'm Doug Peterson, I can look at my coordinator. I almost compare it to Remember the Titans, where they have the championship game.
Right,
he's
right,
like,
right.
You know, your offense better stop there, or your defense better stop their offense. He's like, just worry about your offense. Well, I almost feel like Doug Peterson should look at Schwartz and say, like, yo, dude, you can't stop Fitzpatrick. And Schwartz should come back and say, run the ball. It'll keep my defense off the field for a little bit. It doesn't seem that hard, right, Barrett?
Oh, you know, I talk to Seth about that all the time, and Seth said, man, there's nothing more disheartening than being on the sideline after you stop a guy, you give the offense the ball, in fact, especially when it's a turnover, you get a fumble, you get an interception, you go to the sideline, give him the ball, hey, man, go out there and do something with it. And then all of a sudden, chase him, get up, and you got to run back on the field and do it all over again, man. I mean, that's got to be the worst feeling in the world, man. Worst feeling in the world, man. You know, and it just... And it doesn't have to. It's not that hard. That's what irritates me the most. It's not that hard.
I mean,
it's not.
If I'm Doug Peterson, I guess I get the box score at halftime, and I look at stats and I see, oh, 10 rushes, 54 yards, Miles Sanders.
He doesn't even have to do that. He could. He has people that do it for him.
Yeah, right? 5.4 a pop.
Right.
Fitzpatrick, I might want to keep him off the field. You know what? And then it doesn't even have to be. You go up 28-14 and boom, they come back 75 yards in six plays in like 3 minutes and score a touchdown, make it 28-20. If that's not eye-opening, oh, my God, they're going to their tight end. They're going to the kid from Penn State, Gesicki. They're going to him, and they're exploiting us this way, and they're having success. I need to slow this thing down.
Have to. Stop the bleeding somehow.
But you don't. You know, after it became 28-20, you ran the ball four times. Four times for the rest of the game. It just, I don't get it. It seems almost too common sense.
But it literally is. And I don't want to.
But.
And I don't want to hear the fact that, oh, you guys aren't out there. You don't know what it is to be. I do. I know what it is to be out there. I know. I see what the defense you're going against. And I still see that you can run the damn ball. Don't tell me they start dropping a safety. It doesn't matter if you drop a safety in. If you're running the ball, run the ball.
Yeah, I don't know. For some reason, they can't stick with what they're going to. 610-632-0975. Bob Cooney in for Anthony Gargano. We got Barrett Brooks. Pat Egan behind the glass. Time at 97.5 The Fanatic, 123.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
There's nothing better than to come back from a break and watch Egan dancing to this.
It makes my day.
Yeah. <That's> He's giving us a lot of laughs today, and he doesn't even know it.
They only knew what was going on here, man.
if he only knew what was going on.
I was just going to say, I need to know what's going on.
Yeah, we'll fill you in. We'll fill you in tonight at PJ's, all right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kelly Brown Osborne Show.
No Bring the Heat line today, but if we did, brought to you by American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Winter is here, and man, it's cold outside. If your heating system is not evenly or efficiently heating your home, you need help. Visit AmericanStandardAir.com to find an experienced heating and air conditioning dealer in your area today. And Egan, you said there was something else that I had to do. The Doug Peterson press conference, when we had it on today, was presented by Corpoli's Bakery and Deli, world famous tomato pie. I could go for a tomato pie after I had that turkey pot pie.
Bro.
That looked good, didn't it?
I got to give it to you, man. You know, I had to get that special request in just because of that.
Good
bro.
Move. Good move. That'll make the person who made it smile if she's listening right now. That her turkey pot pie made you make the call to your wife to say, hey.
It starts smelling good in this room, man. This room doesn't smell good. You know, you got, you know, three or four dudes in here. You know, every once in a while, you know, the cologne starts mixing. It starts smelling, you know.
What's cologne?
And some guys don't wear deodorant. I mean, it's, you know, some bad smells that come through here sometimes.
Especially when Egan walks.
Right. Egan, he is on you today, man. Is
I always
am. Personal?
No, yeah, we don't like each other.
Right. Yeah, there was an incident, and we won't be discussing it on the air.
Yeah, but
we're forced to play. We're forced to do the show together, and that's it.
We are forced to work together.
There's it's all like Alshon and Carson.
Yeah. There you go. That was good. Steven in Tucson, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Steve?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. How you doing, buddy?
I wanted to talk about the coaching staff. You guys and the earlier callers were talking about it. If you look down at some of these assistants, all the like the quarterback coach, you're wondering, you know, Carson Wentz regressing. The quarterback coach right now was an assistant's quarterback coach. The assistant quarterback coach was even below him on the list. They're just bringing these guys up instead of bringing in guys with experience. I mean, there's a big difference when somebody has experience working with a quarterback like Carson Wentz.
Right, right.
There's a regression going ever since DeFilippo left.
Well, you know, it's almost like a respect factor. You know, you think Carson's going to respect somebody that knows nothing about what it is to be a quarterback in this league, or, you know, been around quarterbacks that have you know, really coached quarterback. You know, It's hard.
Absolutely.
It's hard.
Yep, and it's absolutely right. But the whole coaching staff is being brought up. You know, I understand you want to bring guys up within the system, but, I mean, we don't have anything with experience right now. Most of that's all gone, except on the defensive side of the ball. Our wide receivers coach is the same thing. The only one is Deuce Staley and our line coach on the offensive side.
Yep, you're absolutely right on that.
It's one of the and I appreciate the call, Stephen. But it's one of the damning things about winning a Super Bowl. You're going to lose a bunch of people to other teams,
exactly,
because you know you reach the pinnacle. So there has to be a reason for it. And we're going to catch lightning in a bottle. And we're going to grab that Frank Reich, and we're going to grab DeFilippo, and all that. But it's also damning that now you're probably at times promoting people from within who had a hand in it, but might not be ready for it.
Yeah. What?
You know, like, was it Press Taylor ready for where he got elevated?
No.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm just saying,
no,
like,
say no.
Yeah, they promoted from within, and it hasn't really worked.
Do you really think Carson respects Press Taylor like that?
As like he did Frank Reich?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, probably not.
Right. You mean, you know, it was one of those things with John DeFilippo. It was almost like a button of heads there, but the respect factor was there, but it was still button of heads, and the respect was, all right, then this guy knows what he's doing, so I'm going to go out there and do it. Do you really think that respect factor's there with Press Taylor and Carson?
And there's definitely something missing, because anybody that can look at it from the outside looking in, you see that there's fundamental problems with Carson Wentz, whether it be footwork, whether it be mechanics, whether it be reads, stuff that seems so natural to him in 2017.
All right, look at this as a viewer. When you watch the game, or you can go back and DVR the game, or just look at it, look throughout this season. How much do you see Carson on the sideline sitting by himself, or sitting with the backup quarterback, as opposed to having somebody coaching him up, giving him what he's supposed to? Even Belichick could come over there and coach up Brady.
Oh yeah.
Well, I don't necessarily see that
Never.
On the sideline.
He sits with his tablet, and it'll either be Sudfeld or McCown.
He doesn't know anything. I mean, he doesn't know everything. He knows enough, but he doesn't know everything. And as a player, you know, some guys like that, some guys don't like that. Well, it doesn't matter if you like it or you need somebody there to run checks and balances off, you know. Even with Ben Roethlisberger, I was with Ben. You had to run checks and balances through him. You know, he had to sit down and talk to Ken Whisenhunt, see what he was talking about. It may not have been the best relationship, but it was a relationship that, all right, I have to respect you. And it won. He won two titles because of it.
Yeah. I don't know. It is baffling. I think we're getting to be that we're all agreeing upon. The coaching is the biggest question that we have here right now with this team. Pete from Princeton, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Pete?
What's up, Bob? How are you guys?
Good. How you doing, buddy?
I really liked the questions that you were asking the guy you were interviewing. And to be honest with you, it's the questions that I have. And that is, when you said, well, besides the Super Bowl year, Doug's an under 500 coach. Besides those 13 games, Carson Wentz is 7-18 against winning teams. He's an under 500 quarterback himself. But it seems like, for our purposes, as Eagle fans, we've already made the decision. Just like when he says, hey, we haven't made a decision about Peterson or Wentz. It seems like on our end, as Eagle fans, we have already made the decision. Carson's here for 13 years and everything else. We will never question that. And now it's all everything around him. And that's my concern is, we think we have the big piece. And now let's get everything else around him. Maybe we don't have the big piece, Bob. And that's my question. Maybe we don't have the big piece.
Yeah, I hear you.
It's too late now.
It is. And it's funny, Pete, the way you say it is that we've envisioned, basically you're saying we've picked Carson over Doug Peterson or whatever. Well, it was kind of forced on us when they signed him to that contract if you weren't already a believer in Carson, right?
And it's almost like now we got to keep speaking it into existence, because no matter what, you saw these quarterbacks, like, for example, and my question to Barrett is very simple. About, it's coaching. Who's the quarterback coach that's coaching Lamar Jackson? I don't know who that is. Who's coaching Pat Mahomes? It can't be Andy Reid, because he was such a failure here. So who's coaching these guys? You know what it is? It's players making plays. That's what they're doing. That's what Lamar Jackson is doing. He's not being developed. He's making plays because he's a good quarterback. That's what's happening, Bob.
Now, I'll say this, though. You can't say that because you have there's clear fundamentals that have to be taught, that have to be brought out during practice situations. You know, you play how you practice. And I'm a firm believer, if you go out there with the proper fundamentals during practice, you're going to practice, you're going to play the same exact way. And the only way that you can get that as a player is to go out there and have it drilled in you time after time after time, play after play. Hey, you got to get that shoulder up. Hey, you got to get the elbow pointed in the right direction. Oh, you got to have this footwork. That all comes with, you know, it's almost like when you're growing up, you know, just put it in layman's term. When you're growing up and you have a mother that's all you hear, hey, you got to make sure you do this. You got to make sure you do that. You know, just like, you know, my mom, put the seat down. You got to put the seat down when you use the restroom. Put the seat down. Now I can hear it in my ear if I go to the restroom. I live with women. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And I put the seat down because it's ingrained in me. It was fundamentally put in me. It was the same thing with football. You got to take the right steps. Coach Stallings always, take the right step. Take the step to get to this step. Everything tied together. Fundamentals is always tied together how you play. You stop doing your fundamentals, you stop playing well, period, point blank, and that's what's happening.
By the way, do you guys want to know who the quarterback's coach is for the Kansas City Chiefs? Former Eagle great? Nobody wants to take a guess? Wow, okay. All right, Mike Kafka.
Oh, Mike Kafka.
And guess who's the wide receiver?
Greg Lewis.
Yeah, Greg Lewis, yeah.
Greg Lewis. And those receivers are pretty damn good.
Yeah, you know why? Yeah, and Mike Groh was supposed to be this wide receiver guru when he came over here, and none of the wide receivers other than a former quarterback have gotten better.
6-1-0.
All right, way to go, Pat. Yeah, there we go. So, final segment coming up in the midday show. Bob Cooney filling in for Anthony Gargano. You got Barrett Brooks. We got Pat Egan behind the glass. Time at the Fanatic 140.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Last segment here, midday show. Bob Cooney, Barrett Brooks filling in for Anthony Gargano, who'll be back tomorrow. Do you think the state of the union here, the state of the state, I'll say, has calmed down a little bit? Like, is this a loss that, like others, by about, I don't know, noon, 1, 2 o'clock, maybe right before Mike comes on, people calm down a little bit, or are they still amped?
I don't think so. Simply because, you know, you look at it, we were supposed to run the table the last 5 games. And it's not a possibility right now because we see what's going on with the state of the Eagles. You know, it's funny that we were on our post-game show, you know, post-game live. And it was funny because I'm looking over at Ray, and Ray is like, look, don't you even try it. Don't say anything else about them running the table. Don't say anything else about them it being a possibility of them making it to the playoffs. Even if they made the playoffs, do they deserve to be in the playoffs? But they say, you know, once you get there, you know, everybody's 0-0. I mean, you're going into it, you know, everybody's record the same. You can start playing well, but still, though, I don't see this team doing that. I just don't. I see too many fundamental flaws with this team to even think that they could take it to another level.
Yeah, you know, we went into this game, we meaning the station, when we were going into the game on Friday and talking about it, you know, Jamie had a feet up kind of game, and I think a lot of people did, and rightfully so. Some of us, minority of us, were like, maybe I'm a pessimist, I don't know, but I was looking at it like, really? This team isn't good enough to put their feet up against anybody.
Not after what I've been seeing this year. Yeah.
Yeah, I predicted they would win, and I did think they would win. I thought it was going to be ugly. I thought it was going to be tight. I did not figure them to lose, and maybe it's still carrying over, and maybe it might not go away until midweek. Who knows? Eddie in Houston, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's going on, Eddie?
What's going on is Jeffrey Lurie and Roseman need to take about 98% responsibility. They've done nothing in the last 2 years to improve this team. They've kept people around who don't need to be here anymore. They're paying people too much who shouldn't be here anymore. And they've done zero, absolutely nothing. This team has what's called the lottery winning syndrome. Can you imagine you winning $20 million today in 2 years? And I call you up and say, hey, how you doing? Hey, I'm broke. Well, that's what this team is. This team is broke. and they're not going anywhere. It's an embarrassment. And actually, someone just mentioned, it would be an embarrassment if this team went to the playoffs. It would be embarrassing, but they're not going to get there. They're going to get their butt kicked by the Cowboys, and they might lose one of the Giant games. That's how I feel about it. I'm disgusted with this team. They are embarrassing.
All right, Eddie, thanks for the call. I guess Eddie isn't over it yet, that's for sure. And the last call,
you had to ask, huh?
I know. Last call we got to get to today. Dennis, I don't think he's any better because on the screen, Egan says he wants to talk about how much he hates Doug Peterson.
Right.
Dennis from Bensalem, what's going on, pal?
Oh, Bob Cooney, how you been, brother?
I'm all right. How about you?
Good. I appreciate everything Doug did, getting me a Lombardi trophy. Never thought I'd see it happen. But it all falls squarely on his shoulders. Like Barrett's been saying, you're up against a team that cannot stop the run. And in the first half, you're just beating the brakes off of them by mixing in a healthy dose of the run and the pass. You come out for the second half, and it's like, oh, let me throw the ball all over the field.
Exactly. You know, sadly, Eric Coryell, yeah.
Yeah, and sadly, Doug probably can't even realize why the offense couldn't score in the second half. Why they looked so anemic in that second half. The other part is, and I understand he's got that, remember the Titans relationship with Schwartz, where, hey, that's your defense, you run it how you want. But when your corners are pretty much getting embarrassed, and Mills is sitting there, and he just got embarrassed on that first touchdown, and then the second touchdown, and then the third touchdown. It's like, at some point, you have... We know I'm a Russell Douglas fan. He may not be great, but, I mean, the guy leads or is second on the team and passes defended. Give him a shot. He can't be doing worse than Mills, can he?
Yeah, no, good point, and maybe that's something you have to take a look at. I appreciate the call, Dennis. Well, Barrett, hopefully we ease some people's minds a little bit today. I don't know if we're that good at what we do, but we tried. It's going to be probably a long week.
It's going to be a very long week because we have to tell the truth.
Yeah, and they don't play again until Monday night. That's right. Those Eagles who lost to the 2-9 Miami Dolphins will be on Monday Night Football against the New York Giants, another piss-poor team.
Well, what an exciting game.
Yeah, that's bad.
Another day to sulk. That's just one more day to sulk over this loss.
Yeah, that's what we have to do. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Bob Cooney here was filling in for Anthony Gargano today. He'll be back tomorrow. Barrett Brooks, thanks for joining me,
yes,
buddy.
Sir.
Much appreciated. Pat Egan, wonderful job behind the glass. Mike Miss is up next at 2, and our handoff is brought to you by Philadelphia Hand to Shoulder Center. Specialized care for all hand, wrist, arm, elbow, and shoulder injuries and conditions. For more information, visit handtoshouldercenter.com. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Mike Miss up next on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.